Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Hey. I can't say you're stuck with me or I'll get in trouble with Barbara. Where'd she go? Maybe she's gone, so I can say you're stuck with me again. So, but anyway, do what? She's in the nursery. All right, well, you got me again tonight. Let's go with that. What I really want to talk about tonight and just felt led and compelled with everything going on in the world is I think we really, really need to focus on prayer right now. What I was wanting to do is when we wrap up, maybe breaking up in small groups like we used to. So I do want to do that, and we'll break up in small groups and really concentrate on what's going on in the world and the problems going on around us, and just let's really lift them up to God. So after the invitation tonight, we will break up briefly in that, and then we can dismiss whenever you get done. You do what you need to do to be safe. If we need to spread out a little bit more, we've got this bigger sanctuary now, so we can kind of get our little distance and whatnot. So you just do what you need to do, feel safe. But just pick who you want to and just break up into small groups when we get done. And let's really lift up in prayer the needs that are around us. Well, the title of the message tonight is called The Air I Breathe. And the scripture we're going to be looking at is Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 8. And you know, I really was kind of reading a bunch of scripture and reading a bunch of things about prayer. And, you know, I kept coming back to the same things that we always talk about. So, and, you know, we've heard these things time and time again, but maybe we need to be reminded of these things time and time again. So I'm just going to tell you what I feel God has laid on my heart. So if you've already heard it, you know, you can blame God or you can listen and take it for what it's worth. But prayer is the air that keeps a Christian spiritually alive and growing. And in the same way we would cease to be alive physically if we stopped breathing, we would cease to be alive spiritually if we stopped praying. So, you know, we need to really be in prayer. We need to be reading our Bibles. We really need to be seeking after God to continue to grow, to be what He wants us to do. You know, we've heard the age-old analogy, you know, and I've heard Jonathan say it a lot, but if you compare it to a marriage, you know, if Carol and I lived in the same house but we never talked, you know, we just went about our business, you know, day in and day out, you know, what kind of a relationship would we have? We wouldn't have a relationship. So over a period of time, we would definitely grow apart and we wouldn't be as close as we should be as husband and wife. It's the same with God, you know, because He loves us. He created us to have a relationship with us. He wants to be intimate with us. So why would we not talk to Him? So, you know, it blows my mind that people that are claimed to be Christians, you know, very seldom go talk to the Father. You know, we need that connection. We've got to have that relationship with Him, because how else are we going to know what His will is for our life? You know, how dare us to pray, you know, when we're in a crisis, you know, how dare us go to God and say, oh, God, I know I haven't talked to you in 6 months, but, you know, my kids were in a car wreck and so-and-so's got cancer and some, I need you to heal them. Well, okay, that's fine and dandy. We're supposed to lift that stuff up, but we need to have a relationship with God that is a little bit more intimate than just going to Him whenever things are bad, right? So, you know, God wants us to bring this stuff to Him. Paul was one that really understood the importance of prayer. You know, if you read all of, you know, Paul's New Testament scriptures, he usually starts out or ends, you know, wanting to pray for those that he's writing. And he was always asking for prayer on his behalf or the apostles or the missionaries, you know, that they'd be praying for him. So he knew the importance of prayer and what it meant as a Christian not only for our growth, but, you know, how things get done. I watched a video today, and of course, it was on the internet, so you take it for what it's worth. Now, you know, everything on the internet is true, right? There was a guy, I think it was over in like Africa, who was in a church service, and he was sitting there, and all of a sudden he got up and pulled out a big butcher knife and was going to stab the pastor. Well, you could hear immediately all of the congregation started praying, and it was 2 seconds later the guy just fell out, and they took the knife away from him and arrested him. So they were saying that this is the power of prayer, you know, and what God can do. That shouldn't be impossible, should it? I mean, that's the God we serve. You know, we ask God to intervene on our behalf and to create, you know, do these miracles day in and day out, but yet we look at something like that and we go, that can't happen. You know, why can't it happen? You know, you see a mother pick a car up, you know, off a kid, you know, and you say, well, that can't happen. Well, if she's praying and full of the Spirit, you think about Samson. He was full of the Spirit and lifted the gates off of the, you know, off of the whatever they were attached to and ran up a hill with them. I mean, why couldn't it happen? We read these stories, and if we believe them, then we need to believe them, you know? So the power of prayer, we have to keep letting God be God and quit defeating Him before He can ever get started. So I want to talk about the power of prayer. I want to talk about how we really need to go after prayer with fervor. And let's stand up and we'll read Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. This is talking about the parable of the persistent widow. Starting verse 1, Then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to Him with the plea, Grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, Even though I don't fear God and care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, Listen to that, or what the unjust judge said, and will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off, telling you He will see that they get justice and quickly? However, that when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You again for just the ability to pray and to bring our petitions before You, Father. We have Jesus sitting at Your right hand, Father, and He is, you know, hears these prayers and brings them to You on our behalf. We have the perfect high priest, Father, that can, you know, He knows exactly what we're going through day in and day out in this world, Lord, and we just pray that we could just continue to just keep our eyes upon Him, Father, and just keep bringing You everything, Lord. We just want to make sure that we just show You that how important You are in our lives and how much we need You, Lord, and for these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So prayer. The first thing I want to talk to you about, or the first point, I guess, with prayer is to be persistent. So persistence. I looked up the definition for persistence, and it says this. It says firm or abstinent continence. I can't even read now. Abstinent continence in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. So basically, we are to keep going no matter how difficult or no matter what opposition comes our way. That's the definition of persistence. If you read verse 1 and 2 again, it says, Then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about man. Most of the time, when we pray, we're supposed to go to God day in and day out. But I don't know about you guys, what do you pray about when you go to God in prayer every morning? Do you just sit there and talk? Hey God, how you doing? You know, how's your day going? That kind of stuff. It's usually, God, protect my children. Be with, you know, be this situation. We're constantly this big wish list asking Him to intervene in the lives of our children and to save, you know, our family members and to protect them. And this, that's usually our attitude, is it not? And we should. I'm not saying that's wrong, but, you know, we need to definitely make sure that we go to God with a sense of gratitude, to be grateful. You know, we need to make sure we thank Him for the blessings. I was taught long ago, and you might have already picked up on this, because a lot of us, you know, seem to pray the same way. I'll always thank God, first of all, in our prayer, for the blessings, for all the good things in my life, because I want Him to know that I've realized that every good thing that I have in my life has come from Him and through Him. And then I'll start in on, you know, forgive me for my sins, for, you know, protect my family, that kind of thing. But we need to be persistent and to make sure that we're not just praying for long periods of time. It's not about time, it's about attitude. You know, God wants to know how bad we want something, does He not? I mean, I think of it like this. When your kids around Christmas time want a certain toy, how do they ask you for this toy? Hey, Mom, I saw this in the catalog. You think you'd get that for me? That ain't how they do it, is it? Oh, please, 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 I want this. I got to have it. I got to have it. I got to have it. Please, 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 please. And then they do that for about 2 weeks solid, do they not? Persistence. They wear you out, and you're like, fine, I'm going to get that for them, so they'll hush. You know, that's persistence, but that is kind of the way we need to go to God in prayer, is it not? You know, we don't need to sit there and try to wear God out, but we need to show Him how bad we want something. You know, if you just, you know, God, I please save my kids, you know, protect my wife. If it's no big deal, you know, just protect me throughout this day, you know. Well, that puts me to sleep. You know, I can imagine what God's thinking about. You know, act like you care, you know. And then if you care, be persistent. Take it to Him day in and day out. If He doesn't answer it, that's His will. That's fine. But if He does answer it, then that's basically Him saying, listen, I am going to honor your persistence. You've been faithful carrying this out. You know, how many times have we heard about an older lady, you know, praying for somebody for, you know, 60 years and then they finally get saved? That's persistence. That's what we're supposed to do. Day in and day out, we're supposed to be persistent. So never give up. Don't give up. That's kind of what he's saying there, is even though you haven't got the answer that you want, keep praying. And keep praying like you mean it. You know, that's the way that God wants us to come to Him. Second one is what I'm talking about there, passion. If you look in verse 3 and 4, it says, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversaries. For some time he refused, but finally he said, even though I don't fear God or men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets gets the justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. So, passion. You know, we're supposed to come to him with the passion. And you know, she basically ended up wearing this judge out. And you know, if she had just said one time, okay, judge, will you give me justice? What would he have done? He would have said, well, no, and left it at that. So it's the persistence, it's the passion, it's the how bad do you want it. Kept coming to him, don't ever give up, and basically at least act like you care about it. You know, the thing that I tend to lean to in prayer is this. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, how did he pray? Did he just say, you know, God, if this cup can pass, if there's any other way this can, you know, if there's any other way we can do it, you know, but not my will, but your will be done. Is that how he put up that prayer? He was pleading. And I mean, we know what he ended up going through. He knew what he was about to go through. He was sweating drops of blood. He was so passionate and so fervent about his prayer. Now, you know, maybe we don't need to be sweating drops of blood because that might cause us some physical damage. But you get the point. You need to really be passionate about what you're asking God for, you know, because that might make a difference in God answering that prayer. You might be the key in God answering that prayer. So keep that in mind next time that you're praying for these things. Verse 6 and 7 and 8. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cried out to him day and night? And will it keep them, keep putting them off? Let me stop right there. Think about this. Who are we dealing with on a daily basis? We're dealing with the world, right? And that's why I think he used this judge that did not fear God, because that's the world that we live in. That's the world that we deal with every day. God tells us to pray for who? Pray for our enemies. You know, it's flip-flop. You know, yes, we're supposed to pray for those that we love. We're supposed to pray for our friends, our family. But we're all supposed to pray more for the people that hate us. And the world hates us as Christians. So we're supposed to be praying for people like this and praying that God would obviously, you know, save them and make a difference in their life. I'm going to keep reading. It says, and tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? That kind of threw me for a loop there, that last line. Because here he's talking about being persistent in your prayer and really not taking no for an answer. But yet, then he throws it on the last line, but when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Well, what does that mean? And I really had to think about that one. But, you know, it says that why even bother to ask God for something if we don't even have the faith to believe it, you know, that he is listening, that he is capable, and that he is willing to answer our prayers. So think about it. If we don't believe God is going to answer our prayer or that God is capable of answering our prayer, then why are we praying? You thought about that? Well, I mean, why are we praying? You know, that's the thing is if that child comes to you with that toy that it wants for Christmas, you know, it's not going to bother bringing it to you unless they think that there's a chance of you giving it to them, right? So you need to at least believe that there's a chance that God's going to give that to you or he's going to answer that prayer. You know, we need to believe that God is going to answer it, so when we offer up that prayer, it makes it past the roof. You know, we defeat our prayers before they even leave the room that we're in. The reason I feel that we don't see the miracles that we read about in the Bible is simply because we don't believe them. You know, the faith of a mustard seed, we don't have it. And that's pretty sad. I think the more spoiled we are as a people, as a nation, we're getting farther and farther from seeing God work. Because if we don't really believe it, then why is God going to show it to us? And so that's something that we really need to give him the respect that he deserves. I challenge you for this. Think about the woman who had the blood disorder, the bleeding disorder. You know, she thought that if she could just touch Jesus' clothes, that she would be healed. And she was. You know, you think about the father in Galilee that knew that if he could only get to Jesus and tell him about his son, that he would live. Well, he did. You know, so we need to really have the passion not only for our prayer life, but in believing that God is going to answer those prayers. you know, or why bother? So I'm going to leave you with this, and we're going to close out, but I'm going to ask you this. I want you to claim it in the name of Jesus. I want you to believe it with all your heart, and I want you to watch God be glorified. Because in the end, God needs to be glorified in all that we do, in our life, in our prayers, in our marriage, in everything that we do. So let's lift him up. So I'm going to ask you this. Are you on life support spiritually, or are your lungs filled with prayer? So let's pray. Carol, if you'll come over. Father God, we just thank you again, Lord, that we have the ability to come here and sit in this building, Father, and just to have service and just to praise you and to just read your word and talk about and discuss your word, Father. Lord, there's so many around this world that can't do that. And Lord, we pray, like Jim said earlier, if it comes to a point where they are at our doors trying to get us to stop, Lord, I pray that you would just strengthen us and give us the courage to stand, even if it might cost us our life, Lord. We know that this world is fleeting, it is fading, it is going away, and it's getting worse by the day, Lord. And we just pray that you would just help us to just stand tall and just to keep our eyes upon you. And to in all that we do, we pray that you would be glorified, Father. I just pray that you would just have mercy on us, have mercy on those around us, Lord, and just to help us to see it through. And for these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to open up the altar, and we are going to do a invitation, and then after that we'll close, and then
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.